evolution improve organisms over time? Well, it spends much of the time just maintaining stability within organisms, but they do change over time.
Do they change for the better?
Well, not always.
So they change for the worse?
Well, it's not exactly, I wouldn't say it's exactly either, because sometimes the environment changes, and not every organism, it ends up with traits, characteristics, behaviors, diets, metabolisms, whatever, that end up working in that new environment, so they go extinct. But some do. Like with germs and antibiotics, you know, you introduce antibiotics into the environment, the vast majority of them die, but some of them get through because they are slightly different, right? So that's kind of an example.
Generally speaking, though, isn't evolution improving organisms over time?
Generally speaking, it maintains the status quo over time because environments change very slowly.
So what's the difference of adaptation and evolution?
Adaptation isn't a thing that happens. Adaptation is a consequence of evolution occurring.
So how would you define evolution?
Evolution is the, well, it literally just means change over time. But I mean, like, the implication of evolution combined with like deep time or whatever is that species, entire species and genre change over time.
Don't you think that's a hyper vague definition? Just change over time?
Well, that's what the word means. I mean, it's a very ancient word.
Well, there's a definition that doesn't say that of evolution per Oxford Dictionary. So
like the biological evolution definition?
A simple organism becoming more complex over time.
Oxford Dictionary says that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the second of the two definitions, I believe, that they have there. So it's pretty specific.
The gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. That's not as bad, so yeah.
I mean, that would make sense from the evolution perspective, because life started as a single-celled organism according to a lot of people that subscribe to evolution.
Yeah, I mean, it almost certainly would have. I mean, it doesn't begin at any exact point. I mean, the first thing that was considered to be alive could have been viral in nature, or it could have just been molecular in nature. That's creepy to think about. It may not necessarily have been cellular.
Well, I mean, the principle still remains that it had to have become more complex over time for us to have life the way that we see it today.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, languages do that. Vocabularies grow over time. Language is actually great because languages replicate and they pass on generations and they go through tiny changes. But full-blown different languages appear not in one generation, but across many, 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 many generations. But anyways, and they also become more complex over time. So,
I mean, language was created, so I don't know if you want to use that as your example.
I wouldn't say that language really was created. We invent new words, but, you know, other animals communicate, but most people don't consider any of that to really be language. Some people do, but I mean, I don't know. Can it be a language if it doesn't have grammar? I'm not a linguist. I don't know what they think about that. But no animal appears to have any grammar, and humans do. So that's one thing that makes it a lot different.
Well, human language is definitely created.
Well, okay, so I kind of started talking about that, but then didn't finish my point. So all kinds of animals communicate, and humans haven't always been around, but whatever our ancestors were, certainly communicated. But what it was it really actually a language? So I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that the language was created, because I don't think one day, like evolution wouldn't say that one day, the humans, and only the humans, started just one day going, let's have words and syntax and grammar. Let's do that. It would have been, it would have evolved from grunts and pointing and certain kind of, whatever is like certain types of sounds that are universally used for certain types of actions. And then gradually it just became sort of like standardized, and they started coming up with new sounds for new concepts. And none of that is really a language yet, but you grow enough of those things and baby, you got a stew going.
Well, sure, but it's still cr human language, not just communication, because now you've entered another territory when you say communicating, but language in itself, words, was created.
Sort of. I mean, it came about as a natural consequence of something that we already do. I wouldn't say it was created whole cloth, just out of like nothing.
Sure, you could argue that it was a natural outflow of the communication. But still, words were created. It's human creation. Okay.
Like, yeah. That's true in one sense, and it's more complicated than that in another sense. That's it.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm not trying to do any gotchas or anything like that. I'm just curious of how just your view on it. So obviously, people that subscribe to evolution believe that certain animals, organisms have changed to even from a land animal to a flight animal, if you'll call it a flight animal, over time. So when you, for example,
Yeah,
when you,
insects, birds, bats, and pterosaurs.
yeah. Okay, so I'm genuinely curious of what you think of this. When certain animals that, for example, like certain species of stingray can jump out of water and flap almost similar to a bird, and then they
Yeah,
do land back
it's
in the water.
nuts, yeah.
But w
Yeah.
so would you argue
Fly well,
that it
flying fish can glide for hundreds of meters, apparently.
Yeah, we could use either one as the example here, but w is there, would you argue that it's possible that they could just turn out to eventually evolve into a new species of bird?
Oh, no, 'cause that's a cool question. I do talk about this in my book a little bit, so it's impossible for an organism to evolve into another organism that already exists, because like by definition, what a species is its evolutionary history is part of the definition of what it is, right? So no matter how similar one organism would look to that's like in a completely different, I don't know, like family or whatever, no matter how similar it became to another one, it would never actually be that type of animal. So this phenomenon called convergent evolution, there's huge numbers of examples of it. It's like the Tasmanian tiger. I think we all remember learning about that in our like Wild Krat Brother, the Krat Brothers shows and stuff we watched when we were kids. It looked exactly like a coyote or some type of like small wolf, but it was a marsupial. So I mean, it wasn't, because it's a completely different type of mammal. It's a marsupial, not a placental mammal. So anyways, the short of it is no animal can evolve into another animal that currently exists.
But could the flying fish turn into a full-on organism that it flies majority of the time?
That would be really weird. I feel like it probably can't, because I don't think they're going to evolve lungs. But I mean, Who knows? Maybe crazy, maybe something like that could happen. But yeah, it just wouldn't be a bird. I mean, if that were the case, then bats would be birds, which, funny enough, the Bible says they are, because to them, they obviously didn't know like hardly any science. So to them, what an animal does is like the most important thing. That's like what type of animal it was. So when they tried to classify things, that's how they did it. Because, like I said, they didn't have a scientific understanding, and plenty of other groups of people probably made those same kinds of mistakes. But yeah, to them, they were like, things that fly, that aren't insects, are birds. That's what they are. That's the type of living thing that they are. So bats are just blind birds. Bats aren't blind.
Then why would certain animals over time have gone from a land animal to a flight, full-on flight animal organism, but others like it seems to be like the flying fish or the fish that can fly for a period of time over water doesn't just continue to evolve to being a full-on flight, like a full-on flight animal. I don't know how to call a flight
Well,
animal or animal that can fly, whatever the scientific term for that is.
there isn't one. What you said is fine. In order for a fish to be a full-time land-dwelling creature, it's going to have to be able to breathe air. And that's only happened a few times in the fish world. So, I mean, it could happen. It just isn't likely to happen. But, flying fish do fine doing what they do. They're very successful. I mean, we can look to examples like this on land too. There are gliding animals. There are lots of them, actually. There are flying squirrels. There are sugar gliders. There are colugos. And there's a type of snake, I believe, that has like crazy, it can like extend out its ribs or something, and it can glide really far. So why don't they fly? Well, they don't need to be able to fly. What they do something different. If they started flying, then they would have to compete with other animals that do fly for the types of resources that they gather by virtue of doing that. So instead, they do the gliding thing, and that lets them occupy their own little world. We call these niches in biology.
So you wouldn't say they've kind of got stuck in the evolutionary track?
Well, you can kind of think of it that way if you want, but that's sort of what that does is it implies that there are things that evolution is supposed to lead to, and that's not how it works. A good book on this concept is Climbing Mount Improbable by Richard Dawkins, and he imagines, the world of all the different body parts that animals have, like a whole bunch of small hills in a landscape. And once you climb to the top of the hill, you can never climb down the hill to then climb a different hill. It's like, for example, there's some animals that have eyes that are different than ours that don't really see shapes with the kind of clarity we do. But it's because they have a fundamentally different type of eye, like a pinhole camera eye. Well, they can't regress to start over to build a compound eye. That would never work because it would make them less fit in their environment.
Okay, I.
Although, well, I can think of like an example where something like that does happen, but
Was the name of that book again?
Climbing Mount Improbable.
By Dawkins. Okay.
Yeah.
Last question for you. I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before, but are you an atheist or are you and I are you more so agnostic?
Well, I'm both because an agnostic person doesn't think we can know anything about supernatural claims or whatever. And an atheist just also doesn't believe in them. Most of the Christians I talk to are agnostic theists. They don't think you can really prove, I mean, some of them think you can logically prove God, but I don't think that gets you out of agnosticism because a logical proof doesn't mean you know something. It just means you have an argument. So, anyways, agnostic atheist.
Okay, so how is that different from an atheist?
Well, because you could, there are some people, you could be a Gnostic atheist A Gnostic atheist would say, I know that God doesn't exist, which is why and therefore I don't believe in God. Whereas my position is, I don't think anybody can prove that there's a God, and I don't believe in God.
But why go the step further and say I don't that you don't believe in God?
I don't believe in God. But saying I don't believe in God is not the equivalent of I believe there is, or is not the equivalent of saying God doesn't exist.
Okay, I hear you. I'm wondering your reason why. You don't think there's enough
I
evidence?
don't believe in anything that there's no evidence for.
You would say there's zero evidence.
Yeah.
See, I think that's a bit disingenuous, though, to say that there's zero evidence proposed by any theist.
I mean, would it, if we're gonna say that, I've heard people say, "Oh, we know Jesus is God because he said he was." I mean, I find that to be utterly stupid. There's probably 47 meth heads on Skid Row that say the same thing. It doesn't prove anything. And then they go, "Well, yeah, but that fulfills a prophecy because God would announce who he is, or something like that." Or there's another, I can't remember, there's like some specific way Jesus addresses himself. And it's like, that prove, th how does that prove anything? Just making a claim like that or whatever. But
Well,
does that count as evidence? I suppose that that could in a way, but I just think of that as the claim itself, no
I mean,
different than the claim itself, I guess.
it's
That's
kind
my
of straw
face so
manning a
hot.
weak evidence point, though.
Well, what would you say the strong evidences
I mean, I
are?
think there's stronger evidence points. I don't think that's I mean, I think that anyone could just claim to be God and be like, well, there's evidence that that person's God because they claimed it. I don't think that's the.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's dumb. So what would you say like the strong evidences are?
Yeah, I mean, I'll clarify. I don't think believing Jesus as God is dumb. Perhaps you disagree, but I think the way you phrased it, if someone uses that as the argument, is pretty dumb. But I would say a stronger evidence point is that, and I know you've probably heard this thousand times, but if I look at Mount Everest, I'm not going to arrive at the conclusion. No, not, you know, sorry, not Mount Everest. If I look at Mount Rushmore, I'm not going to arrive at the conclusion, oh, that was water trickling off the side of the mountain that formed the faces. It's
Right, the
logical.
design argument, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's logical to think that it was designed.
Well, Mount Rushmore, yes, because we know that, I mean, we know that it was. But I don't see anything in the universe that fits that. I mean, the universe is mostly empty, full mostly of waste. I mean, it's just things that are created that later become destroyed in really amazing ways, but I mean it just seems so incredibly purposeless and wasteful. And people say, well, that's just God displaying his glory. It's like, yeah, you say that now, because we know that these things exist. It's just a retroactive explanation, I guess. But and then even for life, I mean, I don't find these are just going to be arguments about irreducible complexity and things like that. Whereas like literally everything about life, like nothing about life is miraculous. And so I don't see any reason to think that it requires a miraculous creation because we understand the chemistry of life very well. If we, so I mean, without rambling too much.
I mean, understanding the chemistry of life doesn't disprove that there's a creator, though.
It does so well, not exactly, because I don't think you can prove or disprove a creator, but it becomes unnecessary because if life can be reduced to mere physical chemistry, then there's no need for a God to have played any role in the existence of life. Now, could God have, like, for example, if God exists, this is totally possible. God can stand on the top of a hill, summon a boulder, and then that boulder, and then he puts it on the ground, and that boulder rolls down the side of the hill. Now, there's nothing miraculous about that boulder rolling down the side of the hill because we understand gravity very well, actually. So God isn't required as an explanation for what we're observing here. But you could argue, yeah, but God magically poofed the boulder into existence and then set everything in motion. This is a deist perspective on things. And sure, but it also, like, the boulder, the world where God created the boulder and then set it in motion and started rolling down the hill, and the universe where that's not what happened, they look identical. So there's no, we don't have anything to point to that God having any role.
You wouldn't argue, or you wouldn't believe the argument that just life existing on Earth is miraculous.
No, because like if something is a miracle, then it would be inexplicable. And I don't find anything about life to be unable to be splicked.
Have we observed life anywhere else on another planet?
Well, we like haven't even looked is the thing, but
What?
without even looking, we find life across a range of environments on Earth that really almost makes no sense. I mean, we have dug like they drill for like rock cores. We have dug up or down over a mile into the ocean crust and pulled stuff out and found bacteria living in it. They freaking live in solid rock a mile below the ocean. So life can exist across ranges of conditions that are just like insane, right? And I think that that bodes well for the idea that life simply is capable of existing in, like, we're kind of talking about is Earth like a Goldilocks planet or something like that, which isn't what you said, but I kind of feel like inevitably that's almost where it has to go. But the conditions we see here on Earth would be like you look at other planets out there in the universe or in the solar or the galaxy or whatever, and you think like, well, those planets, like the conditions there suck. They're nothing like what they are here on Earth. And it's like we forget that the temperature ranges on our planet vary by what, 200 degrees? The pH of the water varies by literally, like the pH can be tens of thousands of times different, and you still find life in those waters. So, anyways, I don't find life existing here on Earth really miraculous.
But so far that we know, there's not life anywhere else that we have
Yeah,
looked.
but well, yeah, but we haven't even looked, is the thing.
We haven't looked?
So, like, have we been to the moon? Yes. Have we been to Mars? Yes. Did we land on Saturn's moon Titan? Yeah, but we didn't really explore it very much. And we know that some exoplanets exist. But like, if we are as charitable as we possibly can be, let's say we've checked in 5,000 different places. We haven't, but that's as charitable as we can possibly be, because that's how many exoplanets we know exist. And we haven't really scoured them, but let's say we have, and there's no life on any of them. There are probably 10 trillion planets just in this galaxy. So we've investigated a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of them out there. It'd be like me plucking one of my hairs, looking at it, and being like, yeah, polar bears don't exist. I didn't find any.
So, what continues to have created all of these planets and galaxies?
Well, gravity, I guess.
Gravity?
Yeah, well, that was a pretty bad answer. Gravity, like we have matter in our universe, like hydrogen, and gravity collapses it into stars. Stars make other elements, and then those stars, they don't last forever. They kersplode eventually. But then gravity coalesces those materials into new objects. You can see these if you look up protoplanetary disk. The Hubble telescope has taken a crazy number of photographs of these around our galaxy. So, like the elements required for life, like carbon and oxygen and whatever else, stars make those. And then, like I said, they kersplode, and then gravity coalesces new bodies together. And if you get some, you get some water, you get a nice star that's at a decent temperature, you're the right distance away, you find yourself a carrot and a bone, and baby, you got a stew going.
That superimposes that that always existed, though.
That what always existed?
Well, stars and planets, like some of those had to have existed in order for stars to explode.
I'm really glad that some of you know that I'm talking about arrested development when I say that. No, they don't have to, we don't have to presuppose anything about how long they've been around. We just have to understand that that process occurs.
For the process to occur, it has to exist, right? Otherwise, that what process is occurring?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to it always exist. I'm not really even sure what that means.
For in order for a star to explode, right, after its life, in order for the process that you explained to take a occurrence, it had to have existed. The star didn't, where did the stars come from, in other words?
Right, so then we're just going to backtrack all the way to where did the universe come from? I don't know if the universe came from anything. Maybe the universe is the only thing that exists, and there's no such thing as before the universe or what made the universe or whatever. Or maybe a god made it, but now we're just back to God on the hill creating the boulder. It looks no different than a universe where there is no god.
But haven't you already taken the position of no God? So why
Well,
even say
I don't believe in God. For the same reason that none of us would say, look, there's no miraculous force pushing the boulder down the hill. We know why it does that. Now then somebody could say, well, yeah, but where did gravity come from? Well, I don't know. But I find that to basically also be an unanswerable question. And I don't pretend that science has proven or disproven that the God can't be part of it or must be part of it. Like either way, it's not really something I'm interested in all that much.
Then just say, I don't know. If you're not interested in it,
I do
then.
say that.
But then you say, I don't believe.
I'm
So
an
you're taking.
agnostic atheist.
But you're not just agnostic. So you're taking another step.
No. I went over this. I don't know if there's a God,
So
and
leave
I
it at
don't
that.
believe.
You see, that's the other step that I'm saying. You don't know, but you also don't believe.
Yes, but not believing is not the same thing as saying that God doesn't exist. I
I
just don't
understand
believe
that.
God exists.
No, I understand what you're saying. So why not just, I don't know if God exists, period.
I don't.
But then you say, but I don't believe. I don't know, but I also don't believe. So meaning the evidence shows me that I'm more
Dude,
convinced that
there's
you
all
don't.
kinds of things that you don't know about that you don't believe.
No, name one.
Do you believe that in a parallel universe you're married to Paris Hilton?
I don't believe in parallel universes, and there's zero evidence to prove.
There you go. But can they exist?
No.
So you literally don't think that they even can exist?
No, I don't.
Why?
What evidence is there of any parallel universes?
I'm not
Like,
aware of any, but that's not the same thing as saying that they can't exist.
but there's logical evidence for a creator. I don't hear any logical evidence for a parallel universe.
I mean, so people that know things about quantum mechanics can tell you that certain interpretations of what happens means that bubble universes are created, that all possible measurements, every way in which the wave function can collapse, that really does actually happen, but in a different kind of reality. I mean, there's extremely good evidence for, like, it doesn't mean we've traveled to alternate universes, but these are, like, the smartest people in the world take this idea seriously, and I think that they have a good reason to, but I mean, you're the Gnostic atheist of parallel universes. That's wild. But I mean, so I don't know. Okay, so let's say instead of parallel universes, do you think that in a, you know that South Park episode where we find out that Earth is just a reality TV show?
No, but I know that Jim Carrey movie that's like that.
Well, no, that's the Truman Show is very different. So the episode of South Park is aliens gathered life from a bunch of different planets and just put it on Earth. And then they've been filming us secretly and watching, and it's the most viewed show in the entire universe. So like, could something, okay, so it's a South Park episode. It's really silly. So let me just be very, in the Andromeda Galaxy, do you believe that there is a green alien driving a yellow Toyota Prius on his way to work right now?
I'm just gonna say I don't know.
Well, do you believe that?
I don't have any belief in something that I know zero about.
Right, so you don't believe it.
No, I didn't say that. I don't have a
Not
belief one
having
way or the
a
other.
belief is the same thing as not believing in it.
That's not true. That's just not true. I don't
It
know, and I'm not,
isn't?
I don't believe
You
it
said
one
you
way.
don't have a
I
belief
don't have
about it, which
belief
means you
in it.
don't believe in it.
I'm neutral
You
on it.
don't. The belief is a positive claim. Yeah, I do think that that alien guy exists. If you say you don't have that belief, it means you don't. What the hell? Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Dude, I don't know what happened, but a thing popped up on my phone and it. You know when you slide the puzzle piece to prove you're not a robot?
Yeah.
My phone made me do that just now in the middle of a live stream. I have
That's
no freaking
extremely weird.
clue. So, I mean, yeah, you are saying you don't believe in the alien, the purple alien that drives a yellow Toyota Prius. So there you go. It's the same
I mean, I
thing.
can illustrate an analogy of my own that I think drives the home, my point home clearer than that. If someone came in, if someone said, "I have a jar of marbles, and it's a really big jar. There could be 3,000 marbles for all I know." They say, "Do you know how many marbles are in here?" "I don't know." "Well, but it's not 3,000. I don't believe it's 3,483, though." That's I don't know and saying I don't believe. If someone came up to me, do you know how many marbles are in here? I don't know. Is it 3,400? I don't know. It's not that I believe it or I don't believe it. I just don't know. I'm not making a belief claim. It has nothing to do with belief. I'm just saying I don't know
But
how
if
many there are.
somebody asked you, do you believe that there are 3,400 marbles in there? What would you say?
I would say, I don't know. I don't
But if you
believe it
don't
one way
know,
or
you
another.
don't believe in that specific claim.
You see, that's putting words in the person's mouth. I don't have a belief on it at all. It's not believing yes or believing no. I just don't know.
But then you don't have it. I don't want to keep going around in this circle. It's actually,
I understand what you're saying, that I
it's
lack a
boring.
belief in it. Therefore, it's the same thing that I don't believe in it. But no, I don't think those two are the same. I'm choosing to not put.
potato guacamole. I don't know.
Well, those are two different things. Potato and guacamole are two different things.
Sure.
Not believing and then saying that I don't, or lacking a belief one way or the other, and saying I don't believe. Saying I don't believe is a claim. Like, I don't believe that to be true.
No, it's acknowledging that you don't hold, that you don't take a particular claim. Not believing in something, again, for the millionth time, is not the same thing as saying blank is false. You just don't believe it.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
We're gonna go in
anyway.
circles forever about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So in a court system, if someone says, "Is he guilty?" I don't believe he's guilty. What is that saying? That he's innocent, right? But if someone says, "I don't
Well,
know if
no,
he's
you're
guilty
actually
or not."
never declared innocent in a court of law.
I'm saying if just, don't
You're
take it
declared not
too.
guilty.
Don't take it too literally. What I'm trying to say is, if I asked you if so and so is guilty and you said, I don't believe that he's guilty, you're saying that you believe more so that he's innocent. Aren't you?
You're saying that we have not found sufficient evidence to back up the positive claim that they are guilty. So
Okay. We're laughing.
you're a Gnostic atheist about their guilt. That's what it is.
All right. No,
I
I
don't know
because
if that was
it,
actually correct
no,
or
it
not,
wasn't good.
whatever.
Okay, and then so well, I already said I was gonna ask my final question. I've already asked that a little while ago, so I will leave it at that.
That's fine.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it. I'll talk to you maybe another time.
Thank you.